Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us now. Tim, we were just discussing the two kind of philosophies going into the NFL draft, of the Titans being conservative, staying back at 11, maybe even trading back if there's a willing trade partner, picking up a position of need, an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, a DB, so on and so forth. And then the other philosophy of go for it, get your quarterback, go up, move up, trade up, do whatever you have to do in order to get your guy. What is your personal philosophy on how you think GM should approach the draft and trading up, trading back, staying put, and going for a quarterback, even if it's not necessarily a position of need?
Yeah, I think you should always try to do what's best for your team and your organization. And so I think the rub ends up when, you know, the GM or head coach, is already, feeling some heat and some pressure. And so because of that, you know, the best interest of the team, especially long term, isn't necessarily, what's guiding the decisions that are being made. Instead, it's, okay, who can we get right now that would help us right now this season? What is our biggest hole? Let's go ahead and fill it. Are we reaching for this player a little bit? Maybe we are. Like, I think that's where, things kind of go wrong. But I think, in a perfect environment, Carolina, what I would say is you have a head coach and general manager who feel good about their standing in the organization, and they're able to really stay true to and trust their scouting department to say, we love this player, he's still there, let's go get him. Or, look, we feel good about our roster at this point, we're okay to even move back, accumulate more picks. So, I think that is one of the biggest challenges that people face in terms of, hey, what should we do? I think the pressure on the people who ultimately will lose their jobs because of the pick, I think a lot of times dictates the pick.
Now, Jim, of the two quarterbacks, Richardson and Levis, which one of these guys do you believe will end up falling a little bit further than what many may expect? And whichever guy you choose, would it be because of, say, Richardson's unknown rather than Levis's known? We know a little bit of what Levis is because he has a bigger body of work, and we really don't know, what Richardson is because his body of work is so small.
Yeah, I would say that Richardson, if you said, okay, which guy maybe slides a little bit further than you would have anticipated, it's exactly what you're saying, the evidence of him as a player. Now, I say that, and I think we all know that personnel people get so enamored with potential. And, so I could be reading that wrong. I mean, you look at what happened with Trey Lance. I mean, the Niners moved heaven and earth to move up to get him. So, that would be my guess on it. But I just would say this. I thought Schefter had an interesting comment yesterday, or at some point this week, I guess, saying that, he doesn't think that two quarterbacks will be gone by the time the Colts pick, or he said something to that effect. And look, if that ends up being the case, then, I don't know that there'll be this mad rush to climb over each other inside the top 10, top 7, whatever it may be, to have four quarterbacks get drafted.
Now, if Adam is right and, only one quarterback is selected within the top three, so we would assume that, Houston goes outside of what a lot of people think and chooses a defensive guy because they got a defensive coach, because of where he come from, defenses first, rather than taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what Adam is saying. And then, you know, obviously you get to three and, you know, that's not quarterback, you would think. And then, you know, so then at that point you say, all right, well, now we maybe are talking about, okay, well, like how is Stroud viewed, and do people think that the Colts would go that direction? And if so, does that mean that somebody's trying to get in front of the Indianapolis Colts? So, yeah, I think that, you know, that part of it ends up being fascinating. And I would just say this, and look, you and I have both been in this kind of business long enough to know that, look, Adam Schefter he's the best at what he does, and he's right a lot. So, and he typically, you know, is not forecasting things, you know, he's typically, you know, reporting on things. So I think that when he says something, and it's, you know, it wasn't, you know, kind of a manufactured segment of like, hey, give me some crazy bold prediction, then I think that there's probably, you know, a lot of merit to it and would give it a lot of credence. So, look, if that ends up being the case, I think that could – look, I actually think quarterbacks not going early, you know, would, you know, kind of change the way I feel a little bit about, you know, the directions I think that the Titans may end up going. I mean, let's face it, if you know, if you get outside the top 10 and only two quarterbacks have been taken, then, yeah, I think the conversation about grabbing a quarterback starts to change drastically at that point.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, Tim, I've always been curious, and this is probably hard for you to answer, but do you feel like some teams use an Adam Schefter or somebody that's got a lot of weight, and you put Adam at the top of the list, of being able to sort of cloud the prediction part of it, right? It just seems so easy to say, well, this they're going to take this guy, and then the two top quarterbacks are going to go one and two. I mean, I sit here and I say, how could that not be the case for those two teams? But to create a little bit of doubt, you could use Adam Schefter as the way to throw people off. Do you think that happens sometimes?
Oh, there's no doubt I think it happens. I think I talked with you guys before about, you know, I was talking to I was at a pro day one time, and I was talking to a head coach, a guy that I had a very good relationship with. And I thought we just were kind of talking, you know, about the quarterbacks that were coming out. And, you know, he told me how he felt about the quarterbacks and specific quarterbacks. And then they drafted a quarterback, and I remember being like, oh my gosh, like, there are my feelings. I was like, I thought we were boys. Did you lie to me? Like, use me? Like, and not because, you know, I somehow am, like, changing the narrative of somebody, but let's say I am talking to Adam or Chris Mortensen or someone else that's doing our NFL coverage, and I say, hey, I talked to so-and-so, and this is what he told me about the quarterbacks. Like, and so do I think that happens? Yeah, there's no doubt that I think it happens. And I think that the guys that are really good at, you know, the people that are really good at, you know, those jobs, you know, are able to kind of sort through the, hey, they're trying to lead me down this direction and kind of use me to do that versus not. And look, I can just tell you that I've seen it happen. I've seen teams, you know, reach out to insiders and say, hey, you know, so-and-so, like, I'll give you a good example. I remember Reggie Wayne was about to be a free agent, and I remember I was with an insider at the time, and somebody called and was like, hey, what do you think the market is for Reggie Wayne? You know, I think teams are reaching out and saying, like, hey, have you heard anything about what the interest out there is? So I think that, so to answer your question, Willie, yes, but I think teams also have to be careful with how they do it because they get a lot of good information.
Right, right. You want to trade that information. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all a rumors game. More with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
All right, Tim. I know as you continue to get closer and closer to the draft. By the way, why don't they just have the draft this week or you know, last week. I mean, aren't we ready? Like, how much more are we going to learn about these guys?
They need one more mock draft.
Just, maybe two or three for some of these guys. They still got time. But are you finding, like, maybe if you could pick a quarterback that you have changed your opinion on more than anybody else from the time you started your evaluation till now, who would that be?
Who I changed the way I felt.
Well,
about
I mean,
him?
Maybe you just have learned more than you than anybody else. You're like, man, I started here, and then after really doing my homework here, I feel a lot different about this guy.
Yeah. So, to answer that question, like, and I think I've said this to you guys before. Like, so here's a good example. Like, I feel like I've got a pretty good sense of Hendon Hooker. It was one of the reasons why, like, I feel like I kind of posed the question of, like, hey, why is he outside the group? And now part of that is because, you know, I saw him play, you know, and I had him, you know, prior to him ever getting to Tennessee. And so, you know, with that, the preconceived notions I have of him, you know, were positive going into it. But so the guy that I would say has changed for me, and it's still a big question mark for me, would be Anthony Richardson. And I say that because didn't see him a lot. You know, I'd see, you know, some of him playing, like, while you know, like, I was getting ready to call a game or I was traveling, his game was on, something like that. Like, I'd see a couple, like, you know, plays on a TV, you know, copy of him. Knew that he was obviously really physically talented, but, like, didn't know how good, right? And I would say this, for a guy that has 13 starts, you know, he probably has a better understanding of things than I would have given him credit for having, right? And so, you know, I think I've kind of used the comparison to Trey Lance a few times. You know, I felt like with Lance, there was such little, like, evidence of him because, you know, the school he played at, it was obviously not the same level of competition. It was in an offense that was really, really good at running the football. And truthfully, is like the Alabama of kind of the group of schools that they play with.
Right.
And so, you know.
Usually have that, an edge talent over the teams they play. Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, listen, Easton Stick tore it up playing for North Dakota State. Like, that's what's happened there, the history of the quarterback since Carson Wentz. So, you know, so with that, I would say that Anthony Richardson, I do think, is probably more prepared than I went into it thinking he would be.
Tim, there's a philosophical article, I think it was, and it was backed by analytics, that the numbers will show that the teams that trade down to get more assets win the trade more often than not. Do you feel like that a lot of teams maybe should pay more attention to those numbers?
I mean, I think so because, look, I think we all agree. I don't care what round you're picking in. It feels like it's a 50-50 proposition at any point, right? I mean, that's just how it feels. And so with that, I think, like, well, it's just like law of averages on this. Well, if I pick 10 times instead of 7, you know, I have a chance to get some of these right. And I think that there was a stat one time we used this a while ago at ESPN, but essentially, you know, there were more like when we looked at active rosters, like at a certain season, there were more undrafted free agents on active rosters than there were guys that were drafted in the first or second round. And it was like, wait a second. Now I get it. Like you only have, you know, one first round pick and you could sign, you know, 10, you know, undrafted free agents, but all those guys are making the roster. Like, so you're telling me that there's more undrafted free agents than there are guys like in some of these later rounds and stuff. I think it just goes to, you know, speak to like the inexact science of evaluating players, drafting them, figuring out how they fit on your football team. And look, I think there's the other aspect of it is kind of like the chip on your shoulder mentality of, hey, I wasn't drafted high.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us playing a little game of puzzle here. Referencing Adam Schefter's report, he said that maybe Indianapolis could be sitting there with the pick of the litter between C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, looking at Bryce Young's decision that he made today that he is not meeting with any more teams. He's only met with Houston and Carolina. It kind of seems like the consensus around town is Bryce Young's going number one to Carolina.
It does, and I'm pretty sure that Adam, I mean, I think pretty sure that Adam kind of even, you know, put a stake in the ground a little bit, saying that he was going to be the pick. So, you know, I just think that, I think this. I think, you know, Willie kind of started off this segment with it. Like, hey, can we just get there already? I feel like the hay's in the barn.
I feel like the hay is in the barn.
A lot of this stuff, right? And so, look, the draft just happens to be this weekend. But ultimately, like, how you feel about somebody, you go through the process, it probably confirms what you saw on tape. Like, hey, we're drafting this guy. And, you know, while there is, you know, some misleading, lying, whatever you want to call it, going on, you know, the truth of the matter is, like, I think the tape is 90% of the evaluation, and that stuff is all done, you know, shortly after the college season is finished.
Now, Tim, what do you think about Davis Mills, Houston Texans quarterback? And I know you that hasn't mm-hmm. been your priority to sort of scout him because of the draft that's going on. And the only reason I asked you that question is, one, we have talked about Houston and potentially them not taking a quarterback a few days ago, Caroline and I and Willie and I. But then you brought it up, you know, again with the Adam Schefter and whatnot. So do you – and I asked you that because – maybe, just maybe, D'Amico Ryans is thinking, listen, we're bringing in Bobby Slowick, who was the passing game coordinator in San Francisco. We saw what they did with Brock Purdy. We saw mm-hmm. what they did with Garoppolo. And because we kind of figured any quarterback, halfway decent quarterback you put in this position with Shanahan, they're going to do good. So maybe they can be thinking that about Davis Mills as well. We get him underneath this system, teach him the things we want, and then be able to ride another year, possibly even longer, while building his team.
Well, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibilities. It could be something that they are, you know, definitely, you know, thinking about doing. I mean, look, he did not have a great year this past year. I don't think the team had a great year this past year. Could they continue to try to build around him? Sure. Could they draft a quarterback a little bit later? Yeah. And the reality of that situation is Davis Mills, Case Keenum, they have E.J. Perry, who signed as a free agent with, I believe, Jacksonville, and then had an injury settlement. Like, I don't feel like they think their starter's on their roster. And, look, it just because that's how it's made up right now doesn't mean there can't be more movement. Doesn't mean there isn't somebody else added to the mix. But look, D'Amico, this goes back to kind of what I was saying earlier too, D-Mace. Like, mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans doesn't have to have a great year this year. Mm-hmm. And so I think taking it on the chin in year one to then be able to build off of it, you know, the following year, that's okay too, because – well, I'll just give you an example. If they are the worst team in the NFL draft, I'll say now, I think Drake May is the first overall pick next year. I think Drake May, I think he's going to check every single box. I think he's that impressive. He's had 1 year as a starter, but I'm telling you, he's that impressive. And so if you're the Houston Texans, you go, look, we can draft somebody that we like, don't love, like say that's how they feel about Stroud, or – listen, let's just take our medicine and be in the mix for Drake May or Caleb Williams a year from now.
ESPN analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, Jalen Hurts just inked a massive, massive deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you think of the deal for Jalen Hurts, and what kind of how did that change the market for quarterbacks moving forward?
Yeah. Listen, how do I feel about it? I love it for Hurts from the standpoint of, like, he proved it. You know, his story is amazing. And, look, when somebody is kind of, like, you know, set up to, like, hey, like, if he would have fallen on his face this year, they'd have cut him. They'd have moved on. Who knows what his NFL future would have been. He delivered in a big way, and he's rewarded for it. I mean, like, literally generational changing money for Jalen Hurts. And so I love it. In terms of how do I think it affects the quarterback market? It was not a guaranteed contract. And all this talk about these contracts needing to be fully guaranteed because of what happened with Watson, I think it provides more clarity when you look at what happened with Kyler Murray, when you look at what happened with the Hurts deal. Like, the fully guaranteed contract, like, that's not the answer. The answer is, truthfully, the amount of guarantee you get, the cash flow over the first 3 years, and the total value of the deal. Those are the things that matter. And, you know, Hurts moved it forward, and ultimately I think Lamar benefits from it. Burrow, Herbert, those guys benefit from it, and that's a good thing for players.
I also do think the Baltimore Ravens are looking at it and thinking, thank you, Philadelphia. No fully guaranteed contract. You're doing us a favor. Tim Hasselbeck, he has been an NFL analyst, joining us as he does every week on a Tuesday. Tim, appreciate you. We'll chat with you next week.
You got it. See you, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, yep. Tim. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.